Every second of every day, your brain is drowning. 11 million pieces of information flood your senses. Sounds, sights, smells, the pressure of your chair, the temperature of the room. But your conscious mind can only process about 40 bits. To bridge this impossible gap, your brain creates shortcuts, lightning-fast judgments that help you navigate complexity without getting paralyzed by choice. These shortcuts are unconscious biases, and they're not character flaws. They're survival mechanisms. Yet, in our modern workplaces, these same mechanisms that once kept our ancestors alive now create invisible barriers that prevent talented people from contributing their best work. This is the central tension. Our brains are magnificent instruments, perfectly designed for a world that no longer exists. Your brain's bias works like autocorrect, mostly helpful, occasionally embarrassing. Three systems drive it. The primitive brain instantly categorizes threats, the emotional brain stores memories coloring perceptions, and the thinking brain gets overridden when the others sense danger. Negativity bias makes you fixate on one critical email despite dozens of compliments. Confirmation bias draws you toward information supporting your beliefs while dismissing contradictions. Affinity bias pulls you toward familiar people, limiting diversity. When Pamela interviewed a pregnant candidate, she felt frustrated about potential maternity leave despite recently returning from her own. Her primitive brain activated a threat response, bypassing logic. The hopeful part, neuroplasticity, means your brain creates new pathways throughout life. Research shows 66 days of bias-conscious practice builds lasting neural pathways. A manager instinctively assigning technical presentations to men and administrative tasks to women can consciously rotate responsibilities until equitable distribution becomes automatic. Through awareness and deliberate practice, you rewire your brain to make fairer choices effortlessly. While researchers have identified over 180 cognitive biases, three common traps provide a practical framework for self-awareness. Information overload forces your brain to filter data automatically, often discarding useful details. This triggers confirmation bias, seeking information supporting existing beliefs while ignoring contradictory evidence. Your brain releases dopamine when encountering confirming information, explaining why being right feels so good. Overload also activates anchoring bias, making first impressions disproportionately powerful. Feelings over facts shape perception more than reality. Most people underestimate Africa's size because feelings about prominence override facts. This manifests as in-group bias, favoring similar people, and negativity bias, where one negative review overshadows years of positive feedback. Speed also triggers mental shortcuts, leading to simplistic decisions. Time pressure activates attribution bias, judging others by actions while judging ourselves by intentions. If I'm late, it's traffic. If you're late, you're disorganized. Speed also triggers sunk cost bias, continuing failing actions because we've invested resources. By identifying these high-risk moments, we can create space between stimulus and response, the essential pause allowing thoughtful actions rather than automatic reactions. Connection replaces assumptions with authentic knowledge by seeing beyond visible traits to appreciate the full person, their experiences, values, and aspirations. Meaningful connection requires environments where people genuinely belong. Employees who hide parts of their identity face an emotional tax, leading to 30% lower productivity and triple the likelihood of leaving. Organizations counter this through inclusive language like parental leave, equitable policies, and diverse leadership. Connection deepens through curiosity and empathy. Mark shares how simply pronouncing an Uber driver's unusual name correctly created a powerful moment. No other customer had done so in 6 months. This small act demonstrated respect for identity, a fundamental human need. Networks cultivate connection through four relationships: mentorship for skill building, coaching for career navigation, sponsorship where someone advocates for you in your absence, and confidants for discussing bias safely. Diverse networks provide strategic advantages. Teams with varied perspectives are 87% better at making decisions and 40% more likely to capture new markets. Connection isn't just feel-good. It's a competitive advantage, improving decision-making, innovation, and contribution. Conversations about bias are uncomfortable but transformative. They activate defensive responses. Those experiencing bias feel the system is rigged, while others feel unfairly blamed. Despite appearing opposed, both share harm to their sense of belonging. Four strategies help navigate these conversations. First, ask questions to move from impressions to facts. Can you help me understand what specific qualifications made them a better fit? Second, tell stories rather than presenting cold facts. When a colleague called the Dominican Republic terrible and impoverished, Pamela shared her experience visiting with her son, highlighting modern amenities through personal narrative that built empathy without defensiveness. Third, tear down the wall through honest conversations acknowledging barriers. Mark discussed his sexual orientation with his father, setting two conditions: complete honesty and no attempts to solve anything. After a vulnerable weekend conversation, his father acknowledged the wall between them and expressed desire to tear it down. Fourth, bring in an unofficial mediator with high trust on both sides when direct confrontation isn't optimal. For leaders receiving feedback, practice empathic listening, to understand rather than respond. Four-star General Glenn Otis asked leaders, "When was the last time you allowed a subordinate to change your mind?" Great leaders don't just handle bias conversations well, they initiate them, building trust and performance by addressing issues before they fester. When unconscious biases surface, they often conflict with our values. Courage to act comes in four distinct forms, each addressing bias at different levels. Courage to identify bias in ourselves requires pausing between stimulus and response to examine our thoughts. A leader might notice they consistently assign technical presentations to men while giving administrative tasks to women, then consciously rotate responsibilities to counteract this pattern. Courage to cope with bias directed toward us is essential because experiencing bias profoundly damages well-being and professional contribution. Strategies include prioritizing self-care, writing about experiences to process emotions, building community with others facing similar challenges, and aligning responses to long-term goals rather than reacting emotionally. Courage to be an ally means taking concrete action, being proactive rather than waiting to be asked, using your access to bring diverse perspectives to decision-making tables, and serving as coach, mentor, and sponsor for those facing systemic barriers. Courage to be an advocate for systemic change involves being the squeakiest wheel by sharing personal stories, speaking up about bias patterns, formalizing dissent through devil's advocate roles, and organizing employee resource groups. As Maya Angelou noted, courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. Addressing unconscious bias requires ongoing commitment. With white Americans projected to become a minority by 2045, effective leaders view demographic shifts as opportunities for innovation through diverse perspectives. Progress starts with consistent practices, implementing connection minutes for meaningful team updates, instituting reflection time before decisions, or celebrating milestones like diverse hiring panels. These reinforce commitment and build momentum. This work demands vulnerability, acknowledging mistakes and learning from them. The measure isn't eliminating bias, impossible given human nature, but how we respond when it surfaces. Do we become defensive or lean into discomfort with curiosity? With 11 million pieces of information bombarding us every second, we can't eliminate mental shortcuts, but we can choose which to strengthen and which to rewire. We can build workplaces where everyone's talents contribute and belonging is standard, not privilege. The question isn't whether you have biases, you do, but what you'll do about them. Creating equity isn't a destination, it's a daily practice, repeated until new pathways become automatic.